Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost Worlds, Rita and J.C. Della Torre.
Hey there, folks. My name is J.C. Della Torre.
And I'm Rita Della Torre.
And this is episode 122 of Transmissions from Atlantis.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Woohoo for 122!
122, and the fact that we're not making our fans wait a whole month for another new episode.
Yeah, check the calendar, folks. It's actually, what, been a week? Maybe two?
Maybe two.
Okay, maybe two. But yes, we are back because Doctor Who is back, and we are going to be reviewing, obviously, the new episode, The Pilot. We have a new companion. Two new companions. Well, I guess Nardole was a holdover from Christmas, but...
Yeah.
Technically, he's new.
Yes.
And, of course, we're going to be talking about all the latest rumors in Doctor Who. In addition to that, we're going to be talking about the return of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yep. And also got a whole bunch of new Star Wars news that came out of the Star Wars celebration that took place in Orlando.
Yep, definitely. And also, there have been some really cool trailers that have popped up that we need to check out as well, including Thor Ragnarok and Spider-Man Homecoming and just a whole bunch of great, cool stuff. Let's go ahead and thank everybody that contributed to the Seekers of the Lost World campaign.
Oh, yes. Thank you for all the people who said, shut up and take my money, because we took your money, and we love you for it.
That was not really the way that I wanted to approach that, but yes, thank you so much for believing in us as filmmakers. And we are going to put that money to good use because we are making a better film than we would have if we didn't have the money.
Yeah, I mean, because of you guys, we are, you know, taking some of the scenes that we were originally planning on doing it one way, and we're now doing it a whole other way because we have a little bit more funds to work with in regards to visual effects.
Yep, and I think we think it's going to really add to the enhancement of the film and just make it a lot more fun for everybody involved. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for supporting Seekers of the Lost Worlds, and stay tuned because we're going to be keeping you up to date with a whole bunch of information as we get closer and closer to getting it debuted out there in the world.
Yep.
All right, so without further ado, let's go ahead and get going with Rapid Fire!
Fire!
Hey, you stole my line.
All right, folks, so one of the most amazing things that came out of Star Wars Celebration this past weekend was another new trailer for The Last Jedi. And guess what, people? Luke talks!
Woohoo! He actually said words. And boy, did he say words.
He did say lots of words.
So, what did you think?
Well, I think, even though certain friends of ours may kill us, Luke is going to die. Come on! He's going to be the mentor!
Well, if there's a last Jedi, that means there can only be one.
Well, so. There is that last line in the trailer that Luke says this is going to be the end of the Jedi, right?
Right.
And you know, we talk about this. Is it because all the Jedis are going to die, or, you know, and all this and that? I think I have a theory.
Okay.
I think that the Jedi Order, as it currently stands, is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Force wielders like the Jedi are going to end. They're just going to become something new.
Or maybe something old, like in the expanded universe, the precursor to the Jedi, where the Jedi, or however you say it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that the Jedi Order is going to cease to exist, even though technically it's been extinct for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's going to come to a close. We know Luke tried to rebuild the Jedi Order,
mm-hmm.
and that failed.
Right.
So I think he's going to be taking this in another direction and maybe doing something completely different.
Yeah, because if you really think about it, I mean, the First Order is not the Empire, and
no,
and the
Knights of the Ren are not the Sith.
Are not the Sith, exactly. So it stands to reason that you would see the Jedi transcend to something else as well, right?
Exactly. I think that's what the Last Jedi means.
I hope that's what it means.
That's my theory.
Well, we hope that's what it means, because nobody wants to see Luke Skywalker die. But,
exactly, I don't.
But you know what? He's the mentor, and the mentor always dies. So
yeah,
that's
well,
the Star Wars formula. So
it is, but there's also certain things that have occurred in the past, you know, year or so that may change that formula.
Yeah, with Leia's and Carrie Fisher's untimely passing, that might change a few things, because, I mean, there's only so much loss you can take of the originals, you know?
Exactly. All right, so what are your thoughts on the trailer?
I want more.
And we want to travel into the future.
Yeah, so we want...
To December.
We wish our TARDIS actually worked to take us into the future so that we could go see it. It looks like it's going to be something amazing. I can't wait to see it, and... I want to see more trailers, more
footage.
More footage, yeah.
I mean, more often than not, I try to avoid watching trailers for movies I really want to watch,
right,
because I don't like to spoil myself.
Exactly, yeah.
Especially since you know how Hollywood, these days anyway, tend to put the best of the film into the trailers nowadays.
Well, there's that, or they might put stuff in the trailer that never appears in the movies, like in Rogue One. You know, there's some scenes in the trailer for Rogue One that never appear in the film.
Well, even the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
There were a lot of scenes in the trailer that we never actually saw in the
film.
Okay, let's move on, though. Another thing that came out on the same day was also the official poster for The Last Jedi.
Yes.
This was an interesting poster. I had to do a double take when I first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
First thing that threw me off was that Luke's head was a lot bigger than Kylo Ren's.
Right.
And then when I did that second take, I realized... that is Kylo Ren as a child.
Hmm.
So this is going to be interesting. I think we're going to see flashbacks,
yep,
in this film.
Some backstory.
Yeah, that's going to show a lot more backstory for both Rey and Kylo.
And what really struck me about it was the importance of the color red. You know,
because it's the color of the Sith.
Because it's the color of the Sith, or the evil in the dark side in the Star Wars universe. So, to me, that tells me that this movie is going to serve like Empire served in the original trilogy, where this is going to be the darker of the three movies.
Yes.
That's another reason why I think Luke might bite it in this one, is because this is going to be a really dark version of the movie.
We'll have to see. I really hope that, you know, that that's not going to happen, but, you know, okay.
I mean, they kind of use the whole philosophy of the Dark Night of the Soul, where they bring you so low that, oh man, how are our heroes ever going to get out of this before they bring it back up again, and then we have a triumphant last movie. That's usually the way it works.
Yep.
That's the way it worked in the original trilogy, that's the way it worked in the prequels, and it seems like they're following the same formula.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, one more Star Wars tidbit for rapid fire, and we still have some other rapid fire stuff. The newest Rebels trailer.
Yes. Oh my. Oh my gosh.
Come on. How can we forget to add that to the list?
Yes. The new Rebels trailer. Oh my.
I have a feeling.
This is the final season.
Yeah. This final season, I think, is going to...
It's going to be a tearjerker, folks.
It's going to be a tearjerker, yep, because, you know, most of these guys can't survive.
Right? It's just like Rogue One. I mean, you knew going into Rogue One that...
Spoilers.
Most of the, if not all of them, would be dead by the end of it. And it's kind of the same thing. Yeah. So I think we know Hera makes it. We know Chopper makes it because they both were in Rogue One.
Yes.
And I actually saw something today about Hera might actually have made it all the way to Jedi.
Yes.
Because apparently she's going to be part of some Disney shorts that were focusing on the women of Star Wars called The Force of Destiny or something like that. And apparently in that, she has an adventure with Han Solo and Leia.
Which is very, very
and the Ewoks,
cool.
Apparently.
Yes, Ewoks.
Yeah, so.
Ewoks.
So yeah, so it's going to be... So we know Hera makes it, we know Chopper makes it, we know the ghost survives, but...
We're great. A person, a ship, and a robot.
Yeah, and
but
as for Kanan and Ezra...
Well,
and,
we know Kanan and Ezra cannot
yeah,
survive.
Yeah, they can't survive. There's no way they can survive.
Because Yoda says there is no others.
Right.
Period.
And
he knew of yeah. Ezra and Kanan.
Right. So... There's going to be some finality going on in this season, and the tone of the trailer kind of lets you know that this is
going to be rough.
These last 15 episodes are going to be a little bit intense for young viewers.
And us. It's going to be intense for us, too.
All right, so we can't let this particular podcast go through without remembering that this is the anniversary of Prince's transcendence to another realm. Prince passed away last year, April 21st, and it's hard to believe it's already been a year. It's nuts that it's been a year. Rita and I are actually throwing our own little Prince party this weekend.
Tribute party.
A tribute party to kind of celebrate his life and his music and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, for me, it's a bittersweet kind of week because, you know, I remember all the greatness that Prince is, but at the same time, there is also the sadness that he's gone. And in addition to that, BBC, or Channel 5 of Britain, came up with this horrible, horrible docudrama on Prince. Don't watch it, folks. And I heard that it's like showing in FX or some channel here in the United States. It is horrible, horrible, horrible. And Mark Anthony, who played Prince in this docudrama, not that Mark Anthony, different Mark Anthony.
Okay.
he's a Prince impersonator. And you should be ashamed of yourself, Mark Anthony. You really should be. Because this documentary apparently twisted facts, tried to sensationalize the drug problem that Prince had, tried to question his sexuality, tried to make him out to be just this loner type person that didn't like anybody and was hated by everybody. I mean, it's a pile of crap.
Bull crap!
So don't watch that show.
Now, you've actually been reading several books the last few weeks.
Yes.
About Prince that you have enjoyed because it really talks about factual things that happened in his life from people who've lived with him, who's enjoyed
Absolutely.
Life with him, like Maite.
Yeah, Maite, his first wife, she wrote a beautiful book on Prince, you know, and that period of her life that intertwined with his, and, you know, it really helped you learn, you know, the makings of the man. And yes, there was some loneliness to him, you know, without a doubt. But when you're a genius like that, it's kind of hard for other people to be on that level. And Prince was never one that liked to repeat what he had done before that just worked. He was somebody that always liked to move forward. He didn't like looking into the past. So a lot of times he would switch out his band members. He would do a lot of changes just to keep everything fresh and keep the juice is flowing.
Which worked for him.
And sadly enough, it also was the same way with his women. He always switched out his women as
yeah.
often as he could just to keep everything fresh. But something definitely changed with him. Once he married Maite and they had their first child and they lost their first child, that was a changing point for Prince's life. And it's a very sad development that everything kind of fell apart with him and Maite, you know, after the death of their child. But at the same time, you know, Prince didn't end there. I mean, he still created music. He created great music well after that time period. It was just a different type of music that, and he started experimenting with jazz and a whole bunch of different things. So it was something that, it was a sad personal story, but it was also a beautiful personal story because you could tell that there was a lot of love in that relationship and you got to know him more through her.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that book.
So that is going to be a problem. You're going to start seeing other books coming out, other documentaries coming out. Some are going to be respectful and some are not.
Yes, and the one that the Channel 5 did was a travesty, so don't even waste your time with it.
All right, so next up, Spider-Man Homecoming trailer.
Yes.
I finally got around to watching this. I know it's been floating around for a few weeks. At first, I was kind of avoiding it because, you know, spoilers.
Yep.
But I'm glad I watched it because it looks freaking awesome.
Yes. And, you know, coming from a Spider-Man fan, I mean, tell them the story about, you know, how we went to see the first Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire.
Oh, when the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie came out, we actually took the day off. I think we bought tickets to three showings on the same day.
Yep.
And by the third showing, my knees were killing me.
Yep.
And we were quoting the film.
Yes. And, you know, and that one wasn't even that great. But it was Spider-Man, and Spider-Man had finally made it to film, and, you know, for all my life, they had been trying to make a Spider-Man movie and never could accomplish it.
Well, at the time, we thought it was great.
Yeah.
Since then, there's been better.
Yeah. Well, actually, honestly, all the Spider-Man movies have been kind of underwhelming, except for, I actually like The Amazing Spider-Man. A lot of people didn't like it. But
I enjoyed it.
I thought Andrew Garfield was a great Peter Parker.
Because he was being the snarky Peter Parker.
Yeah. He was much more Peter Parker to me than
Tobey Maguire.
Than Tobey Maguire was.
I agree. So hopefully this new kid is going to be just as good.
And at least from the trailer, he looks like he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraged by it, and I think it's going to be something good.
All right, so next up, the Thor Ragnarok trailer.
Speaking of unbelievable trailers. oh my gosh.
I can't wait for this, the movie.
Yes.
Because this film is going to be awesome.
Yes. I mean, just from all the oohs and ahs that you got from, you know, him wearing the Thor helmet and just...
Seeing the woman crush the hammer and you're like, what?
And it's... Yeah.
How is that possible?
And then, of course, Planet Hulk. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was... It was one of those awe-inspiring, ooh, doggy, I can't wait for this movie, kind of.
Yep, it's going to be cool.
And what's funny is I hadn't really seen much on Thor, you know, at all. If you really think about it, there was really nothing going on for Thor Ragnarok. And then all of a sudden they unleash this trailer and it's like, holy crap.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'll get like these little still shots every once in a while.
And you're like,
bleed out, but then you get this trailer and you're like, what?
Yeah, and you're like, okay, another Thor movie, big deal. And then you're like, whoa, holy crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, so that does it for Rapid Fire. Next up is going to be our main topic. We're going to be talking Mystery Science Theater 3000.
In a not too distant future.
La la la.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, Rita.
What up?
Where in the world can we get Manos the Hands of Fate?
Well, it's a good thing you asked. You can go to our Transmissions from Atlantis store at the ESO Network store.
We have an ESO Network store?
Yes, we do.
How about that?
Awesome!
What else can you get in there?
Everything. We've got Doctor Who. We've got Wool by Hugh Howie. We've got books by you.
Hey, now that's class.
And not to mention, you can even pick up the Walking Dead omnibus volumes.
And how do people get this?
Well, all you gotta do is go to astore.amazon.com, Earth Station 1.
Alrighty then, I'm on my way.
Later. Right now, it's hero time. Or anti-hero time.
There was a guy named Jonah, not too different from you or me. He worked at Gizmonic Institute, just another mug in the yellow jumpsuit.
But
his first call came in for him at 12:30. That's when an evil woman trapped him on the dark side of the moon.
Jonah can't control when the movies begin or end, so we'll have to keep his sanity. the help of his robot friends.
All right, folks, you know that sound of that music, or maybe you don't, because that's the new theme for Mystery Science Theater 3000, and Jonah is the new lab subject.
On the satellite of love.
Yep. So, Mystery Science Theater 3000 finally rebooted, and some of you may remember that we actually interviewed Joel Hodgson right before Dragon Con a few years ago. And
one of the best interviews we've ever had.
Yes, if you want to definitely look that up, be sure to look it up. Look for the Joel Hodgson interview, because it was by far the best interview that Reed and I have ever done.
And it's funny, because while we were interviewing him, he was talking about a possible reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was talking about, you know, his plans for, you know, wanting to bring the show back. And here it is.
Yep. He talked about the Kickstarter and all that kind of good stuff, and, you know, how he was thinking of doing it. And, you know, we definitely were offering the support of him to do it, so he was responding to that. And the funny thing about that interview was, it was almost like he didn't want to get off the interview with us.
Well, and we didn't want him to either.
We were all having such a great time just talking about MST3K and, you know, the whole genesis of how it all came about. Definitely check out that interview. We'll link it in the show notes for this podcast so that you guys can go back and listen to it, because it was a great interview. With that said, obviously, we have new MST3K. We have new Mads with Patton Oswalt and Felicia Day. And we have the Skeleton Crew, which is this kooky band and that's behind the Mads. And we've had some cameos of Joel already, as well as the Pearl and Brain Guy and the Monkey Guy.
And what I love is that Felicia Day character is the grandchild of Pearl.
Yes.
Because Pearl's grandma.
Yes. And so, I mean, it's well thought out of how they continued the series. And frankly, it feels like they picked up right where they left off.
Yes.
There are some differences. There are some subtle differences, like, Servo being able to fly all over the place. And
Gypsy can talk.
And Gypsy can actually talk a lot better than she used to. She's not like anymore, Scooby-Doo type of talking. You know, now she can actually, she actually has a voice, and she'll pop up every once in a while during the movie. She's always dropping something off. I still haven't figured out yet what she's
dropping off.
It looks
like a cooler. Like, maybe she's dropping off drinks and snacks.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I still haven't figured out that part of it. But what do you think of Jonah?
I like Jonah. I like Jonah just as much as I liked Mike, as I liked Joel originally in the series. He's kooky. He's eccentric. He's really cool. He's quirky. I mean, he's perfect for the show.
Yep, and, you know, a lot of people are complaining that the new voices for Crow and Servo are too different from the originals.
I don't agree.
I honestly haven't really noticed the difference.
Nah, I haven't either.
I mean, yes, there are some subtle differences, you know, but for the most part, they still feel like the characters to me.
Yeah, exactly. And so apparently a few people don't like Felicia Day's character.
Yes, I've heard that.
And I don't know why, because I think she's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, what do you expect from the Mads? I mean, you're not going to get... Obviously, Trace was amazing as Dr. Forrester, and TV's Frank, you know, obviously, it's hard to live up to that. I mean, Pearl, to me, never lived up to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not supposed to be the, you know, full-out drama acting that you would normally see in
Of course, and it never would be, yeah.
It's meant to be cheesy.
Yes. And I think that, you know, like I said, Pearl was never measuring up to Dr. Forrester either. And I think that Kinga Forrester, the character that Felicia Day is playing, is just as funny as Pearl ever was. And I think that she's brought some energy to it. I mean, I don't know. I like Felicia. I think she's done a fantastic job.
Oh, we love her and everything.
Though. And Patton Oswalt, I think, has done a credible job as TV's son of TV's Frank. I'm surprised I got that the first take. Jeez. And, you know, I think Patton's hilarious. I've always loved Patton Oswalt.
Oh, yeah, he is really, really funny.
So, I don't know. I like the vibe of the show. The movies have been absolutely cheesy,
as you would expect.
As you would expect.
So the last one we saw was Avalanche.
Yes.
And oh my, you got a movie with Mia Farrow in it.
Mia Farrow and Rock Hudson.
And yet it was still horrible.
It sucked. It was awful.
But here's something cool though. There were nudie bits in this film, and they used Tom Servo and a couple drones to cover up the nudie bits.
Yes, that was kind of funny. Where all of a sudden you see Servo playing around with drones, and the drones just happened to go right in the right spot when the nudie bits
just popped up.
Popped up, yes. Quite
so
literally.
That was kind of funny.
Yes.
I mean, we've been watching. I think something we're enjoying is that the writing for the show is more up-to-date, more relevant for today's.
Yep, I mean, there's age. References to Twitter and things like
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. iPhones, stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff that, you know, it's great to watch the old MST3K stuff, but a lot of the references that they're making are dated. You know, they're from the 90s, they're from the early 1000s, the early aughts, as one would say. And so there's less out there. There's not the internet and things like that, you know, was prevalent back, you know, that wasn't prevalent back in the day, but that's such a part of our daily lives now.
Exactly. So on top of the fact that some of the riffs are current, they're also doing some of the more classic stuff as well.
Of course,
well,
yeah.
Which is cool. It's a mix of both.
And yeah, they still reference back to some of the old stuff that they would joke about.
Yeah, so the writing has been fantastic. And so, I mean, we've watched, what, 5 movies now?
Yes, I think we're up to episode 5 because you tapped out on the last one because you fell asleep. But I
oh yeah, it. That's the cowboy with the dinosaur.
Yeah, the cowboy with that dinosaur. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, oh my gosh. I think I fell asleep.
It's like
during that
you
one.
You wait an hour to finally see the dinosaur, and it's like this claymation awful dinosaur. It's terrible, and it's like so this is like a Western. But then all of a sudden you have the dinosaur at the end, which makes absolutely no sense. I mean, well, that's the whole point of it, right?
Yeah.
And Cry Wilderness, oh my gosh. with the animals that are, you can obviously see the collars and stuff and the wires holding the animals back.
Oh, yes. There's like, here's all these animals that are out in the wild,
and
yet they have collars and they're on fishing lines.
And why are they even there? I mean, what's the point? What plot is being furthered by having these animals just kind of hanging out?
Oh, man, and Sasquatch.
And Sasquatch, yes. Yeah, Sasquatch was little Timmy's friend or whatever the kid's name was.
Dude,
he liked Coke and rock and roll.
here's the thing. Did you get like a pedophile kind of vibe from that film?
Oh, from the hunter guy? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
The creepy hunter.
The creepy hunter guy that kept giving the kid eyes. And
hi,
like,
Timmy.
And it's like, well, I don't even know if the kid's name was Timmy, but you know, it's like, hi, little Johnny. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, he's like, don't tell your dad. It's like, ooh, that's kind of creepy. I'm sorry. That's a little creepy.
The guy
right
looked
there.
Creepy.
Yeah. And he had a whole creepo vibe kind of working there. Yeah, the first time we meet that character, he's like in their house eating their food. And it's like,
I'm in your house eating your foods.
And he's like, oh, was that yours? Have some. You know, like, wait a minute, who the hell are you?
Oh, no, no. And he's eating their food like he's some kind of caveman.
Yes, exactly.
Right? I mean, he's got both hands into this big, giant chicken, and he's just gnawing at it.
Yes.
Like some wild animal. And he's like, you want some?
It was bizarre. Yeah, it was absolutely bizarre. Like any Mystery Science Theater 3000 season, there's been some hits, and there's been some misses. I mean, some of the movies haven't been very memorable. Reptilicus was not very good. I mean, obviously, their first time out, it's going to be a little rough with the new show. So I thought Reptilicus, of all the new episodes so far that we've seen, was the weakest.
Yeah. tell that to me. I fell asleep during the last one.
Well, that's true, yeah. That one was pretty bad, too. But the riffs have been solid. I'm not criticizing Jonah and the writing team for the riffs, but the movies themselves, you know, there are some movies that are just so bad that they're memorable. Cry Wilderness is one of those.
Oh, The Time Travelers was
The Time good. Travelers was oh my, ridiculously bad.
And Avalanche.
And Avalanche, yeah. Avalanche was absolutely horrible. But, so, you kind of remember those, you know, almost like Manos, The Hands of Fate. You remember Manos, you know what I mean?
And you think of it as a cult classic because of that.
And then there's some that, you know, just kind of, like Reptilicus or the last one that we watched with the cowboy and the dinosaur, that just kind of just fall by the wayside. You don't really remember it. And it's
true,
just,
true, true.
You know, and that's with any MST3K season. I mean, they've done 200 episodes, and nobody remembers all 200 episodes.
That is true. Now, here's a cool thing, though. Because all of these have been released on Netflix, you can binge watch them all because they,
yes.
You know, like most other shows on Netflix, everything was released all at once.
Yes, but it's harder to binge it because every single episode's an hour and a half. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't just sit there and just binge.
Nope.
Yeah. You know, you get maybe two episodes in and you're already 3 hours in and you're like, okay.
Time to go to bed.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got one movie in yesterday that I actually stayed awake for. And then when we started watching the second one, probably about maybe 10 or 15 minutes
you were
in,
out.
I was out.
And you didn't wake up until they finally showed the dinosaur and I'm like, oh my God!
Yeah.
And you like woke up and you're like, oh, what? Oh my God!
And then I just turned over and went right back to sleep until the movie was over.
And it's funny, there were rolling credits, and Rita wakes up and says, can we just watch the rest of this tomorrow? I was like, it's over already.
And I'm like, okay, turn off the TV already.
Yeah, so some of them are definitely an acquired taste, but but it's still a lot of fun. It has the same old MST3K vibe, even though it has some new fun features, and I think the show is just as good as it was.
I agree. I love it. And if you guys are fans of the original, you definitely check out the new.
Absolutely.
All right. So next up, we're going to talk Doctor Who. It's finally back. Yay!
New Who! New Who!
Okay. Auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one. Go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge. Who takes the Pandora Cup? Takes the universe. But, bad news everyone. Cause guess who? Ha. Listen, you lot are all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not bad. Can you do another? Maybe something less wordy.
He's like fire and ice and rage. He's like the night and the storm in the heart of the sun. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time and can see the turn of the universe and he's wonderful.
Wow, a little dark. Anything a little lighter?
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Maybe. Got something a little fresher?
I am not a good man, and I'm not a bad man. I am not a hero, and I'm definitely not a president. And, no, I'm not an officer. Do you know what I am? I am an idiot, with a box and a screwdriver.
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Where is the Doctor now?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Is that credible?
It's true.
You're the woman he loves.
No, I'm not.
She's lying.
The Doctor does not and has never loved me. I'm not lying.
Confirmed. The life form is not lying.
Impossible. This is a trick.
No, it isn't.
My information is correct. You are the woman who loves the Doctor.
Yes, I am. I've never denied it. But whoever said he loved me back, he's the Doctor. He doesn't go around falling in love with people. And if you think he's anything that small or that ordinary, then you haven't the first idea of what you're dealing with.
Your Majesty, I assure you, she is the perfect bait. When this woman is in danger, the doctor will always come.
Oh, you are a moron. No, he won't.
He's probably already here.
No, he isn't. Of course he isn't.
Possibly on this ship.
Well, go on. Scan it, then. Go on, why don't you?
River.
Two hearts, stupid clothes. You can't miss him.
River.
Go on, scan the whole parsec. He's not here. God knows where he is right now, but I promise you, he's doing whatever the hell he wants and not giving a damn about me. And I'm just fine with that. When you love the doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back. And if I happen to find myself in danger, let me tell you, the doctor is not stupid enough or sentimental enough, and he is certainly not in love enough to find himself standing in it with me.
Alright, folks, you know that music. It's time for Doctor Who!
Doctor Who's back!
Yes, Doctor Who is back. Thank goodness. It was way too long of a wait.
Long, too long.
You know, to have just one episode in 2 years is redonkulous.
Not counting the Christmas episodes, of course.
The one episode in the last 2 years.
Oh. Whatever it is.
Yes. Anyway. Doctor Who is back, and we have a new companion, Billy Potts, and also Nardole, I guess, is now a full-time companion.
I love Nardole.
So, let's talk about the new episode. It's a new episode. What did we think of it?
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
Well, as far as season openers go for Doctor Who, I wouldn't call it the best season opener ever, but it was still right up there. I found it very, very enjoyable. I thought, you know, it was a little slow at the beginning, but then once it kind of got moving, then it got moving, you know, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the pace was good. And the storyline was interesting and new.
Yes.
And it's weird because I didn't feel like there was truly a villain in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, Heather kind of was the villain, but then you turned out that she wasn't really the villain, you know?
Yeah, and technically she's, you know, spaceship goo.
Yes. So I guess the spaceship goo would technically be the villain.
Yeah, but it was odd. There's definitely a few things to point out on this episode. At the beginning, you know, on the desk, we see the picture of River and we see the picture of Susan.
And that is Susan, by the way.
Yes.
For those that got confused.
And what was also cool was the jar or whatever it was with all of the sonics in it.
Yes. That was very cool. So, the thing that stuck out for me in this particular episode, again, like you were saying, the pacing was definitely a little slow, especially at the beginning. But after we watched it the second time, and yes, we've watched it twice already because we are insane.
Of course.
And we love Doctor Who. I thought that at first it was just kind of a slow burn kind of episode, but really it wasn't. I mean, once we get the beyond the initial introduction of Bill, once the goo is introduced and Heather gets sucked into the goo,
then it moves really fast.
Things got really, really hectic, and it was actually kind of scary because, I mean, Heather was kind of a creepy
when you
ghost
see,
kind of thing.
Yeah, when you see her popping out of the water and all that jazz, that was creepy.
Well, for me, the creepiest scene was when she's in the mist in the courtyard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Bill's, like, walking up to her, and I'm like, Bill, what the hell are you doing? Go the other way!
No, what creeped me out most is every single time Bill would take a step towards Heather, Heather would mimic exactly what she was doing, and almost like she was mirroring what she was doing.
Well, that's exactly what she was doing.
Yeah, that was creepy. Seeing Heather inside the puddle was creepy.
That was a creepy shot. Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, how did they come up with that? I don't know, but it was creepy.
So I get that the puddle was just supposed to be some intelligent goo from some spaceship, right?
Yes.
But it talked. You know, it was like, passenger or pilot acquired, or passenger acquired.
Well, obviously, the goo is some form of, you know, technology, probably run by a very advanced AI.
Hmm.
But here's an even bigger question. Who was the spaceship?
Yes.
I mean, there was obviously a spaceship that visited Earth. Whose spaceship was it?
Right.
And where'd they go? Why were they there?
Yep.
Nobody asked that in the show. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we're dealing with the space goo, spaceship goo, but...
Yep.
What about the spaceship? Where did that go?
Yep.
Right?
There were a lot of questions in regards to that particular episode. For example, why was the doctor there? He said that he made a promise to somebody. Who did he make a promise to?
What's the vault? What's in it? Why is he protecting it? Is he protecting it? Or is he trying to break into it? You actually don't even really get into that. I mean, is he protecting it or is he trying to break into it? You don't know.
He's definitely protecting it because he's got security measures all around it, and he's monitoring those security measures. So I think he's trying to keep whatever is in the vault in the vault. But
what is it?
What is it? Or who is it?
And it's like you said, who did he make those promises to?
Right.
Because it's apparent that he's already been on Earth for at least 50 years, if not more.
Exactly. And I did enjoy the thought that the doctor could be an engaging lecturer.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was kind of cool. And to be honest, when Peter Capaldi was doing the lecture scene, I was engaged in his story, too. Because, I mean, he really is a very good lecturer.
Yeah. And you get the sense that the university allows him to do whatever it is he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting because that probably ties back to who he made those promises to.
Right. Because obviously there's some kind of agreement for him to be there and to basically protect whatever's in the vault.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about Nardole.
Okay.
Nardole just had these kind of quirky one-liners in the episode.
Well, he's definitely the comic relief. I think he's the one that's going to keep us laughing a little bit. Because the doctor can't be that. You know, Matt's doctor was kind of goofy, and, you know, you could laugh at some of the things he'd say. Capaldi's doctor was never really that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, he would crack some awesome one-liners here and there. But for the most part, he's a very serious doctor.
Yeah. The thing is that with Nardole, I get the sense that he's not really a companion as he is more of an assistant.
Yes. And that's really what the doctor's companions were in the beginning, were assistants. So he is kind of taking the role of a classic series assistant. You know, in fact, that's what they were called. They weren't really called companions. They were called assistants.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
And not to mention, even with Bill, he first took on the role of being her tutor.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the come fly with me type of mentality that you had with 10 and
right.
and 11. This was the, okay, how about I teach you a few things?
Well, he did that because he didn't have the opportunity to do the come fly with me thing because he has this unspoken promise to whoever it is that he can't leave.
Yep.
And we didn't really touch on Bill all that much. What did you think of Bill? I
loved her.
I loved her a lot more than I did in the trailer.
Yes, I loved her a lot more in the episode than I did in the trailer. And so let's touch on the fact that she is gay. And I honestly had no problem with it at all.
Yeah, don't care.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, she was just as flirtatious with Heather as any guy would have been with a girl or another girl with a guy. That's all I got from it.
And, you know, I mean, we've seen enough from Captain Jack and all the different characters in Doctor Who, the Madame Vostra and Jenny. Jenny, yep. And so, I mean, I don't care. Who cares? I mean, really, who cares?
I mean, I thought it was very relatable.
Yeah.
In regards to, you know, it's just a normal person trying to find a normal relationship. That is it.
Right.
Regardless of what your orientation is.
Now, I did think that they kind of hammered us over the head with it, you know.
I don't think so.
With the whole, you know, starstruck, you know, star in your eyes, you know, that...
Nah.
That whole one scene where she's in the club or bar or whatever that is, and they just kind of meet with each other. You know, I mean, that was kind of like a, okay, we get it. She's gay.
No, I don't agree with that. Because my opinion is, if that would have been a guy instead of a girl for Heather, you still would have had the same reaction. I don't really think it's a hammer over the head thing. That was just, I think that scene was really meant to set up the eye. Because that whole scene made you pay attention to her iris a lot.
Maybe, yeah.
Because the whole point of that is that when she looked into the puddle, her eye looked normal.
Yep.
So that was all a plot device.
So obviously this episode is seeding the future of this particular series. And Bill, as we know, is going to be a one season companion. Well, we pretty much already know that, so that's not going to be a big surprise. Are you disappointed that Bill's going to be a one-series companion now that we've actually seen her in action?
I'm not really ready to make that kind of judgment yet.
Okay.
I mean, we've only seen her in one episode.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we loved Clara, too, at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'd like to see how she progresses.
Yes.
Throughout the season before I make that kind of determination. Could I be disappointed? Yeah, it depends on how good she is. It depends on how good the writers are for her.
What did you think of them bringing back the classic villain, the Movellans, with the Daleks?
That was cool.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was more of a cameo than it was anything else. You just saw some of them flying around and being shot, and that's about it.
I also enjoyed the fact that the TARDIS... She acclimated to the TARDIS little by little. It wasn't like an all-in-one, you know, all-at-once kind of shot. Oh, here's this big spaceship that's bigger on the inside and it travels through time. No, she kind of came...
Well, she wasn't getting it.
Yeah, she wasn't getting it at first. And then once she was getting it, it's like she transitioned into this slowly. It's like, okay, so now we've traveled through space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're traveling farther and farther away. Oh, and we also can travel in time.
Yeah. And the whole scene where she's like, "And Doctor, it's bigger on the inside," and then Nardole's like, "Oh, we got there!" That was pretty funny.
That was funny.
Yes.
One of the things I've noticed about Nardole in this episode was that there are some times where he looks a little, you know, I'm trying to find an appropriate word, clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other times when he's talking that he sounds a lot more intelligent than he lets on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's probably sneaky intelligent, you know, where he doesn't want people, he wants people to think that he's a bumbling fool.
Yeah.
But he's not really.
Exactly. Oh, and we officially have an alien companion other than Jack Harkness.
Yes, but there have been other alien companions, but...
Yeah, but not that many in the new series.
Right. I think this is the first in the new series other than Captain Jack.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed it the second time a lot more than I did the first time. I will freely admit that. I'm glad we watched it twice, because the second time I was less critical, I think, than I was the first time around.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just because you have all this anticipation and buildup of Doctor Who coming back. It had been so long. We'd only had one episode in 2 years. And, you know, when... It starts off at a slow burn. It's kind of like, really? That's what we waited for? But, you know, by after the second showing, I really was into it, and I liked it a lot.
Yep. All right, so overall.
I will give this episode probably an 8.
Yeah, I think I would, too. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the greatest episode I've ever seen, but it was a fun episode. It was a spooky episode. I liked the interplay between Nardal and Bill and the Doctor, and I just kind of... I kind of like the new vibe, the new energy, and I think it's 100 times better than what it was with Clara.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on there.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on, because we've got more Doctor Who news.
Yes, so apparently, according to the British tabloids, we have a new Doctor Who, and it's Chris Marshall. So, who is Chris Marshall? Well, we've talked about him a few times in a couple other of the podcasts.
Well, we talked about him the last time they were choosing a new Doctor.
Did we?
I think so.
No, I don't remember. But I do know that he's been in Death by Paradise, which is apparently now on Netflix, so you can check that out. As well as he played a love god in Love Actually. So apparently he was the god of sex or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about that is that he's also Ginger.
Yes, he's also Ginger. So he's apparently a very accomplished actor. Some of the feedback that we've gotten when we put out the question of who is this guy, we've gotten some very positive feedback, and 90% of it has been very positive. I haven't seen too much negativity about this choice, if it is the choice. So it's standard BBC, you know, it's a white 30-something doctor, you know, and so... It's nothing daring. It's not a black doctor. It's not a female doctor. It's
the same. Now, of course, you know, this information is coming from the tabloid, so you can take that with a grain of salt.
Yes, that is absolutely true. But I will say that the Sun did have the John Sim scoop of the Master return of John Sim returning as the Master. So,
and speaking of which,
maybe they've got some kind of insider.
So, John Sims coming back to Doctor Who.
Yes. Well, we definitely know that's for a fact, right? John Sim, one of my favorite masters, I'd say. Missy's my favorite master. Obviously, the classic masters are right up there. John Sim's right in that group, though.
And we definitely know he's back now because we saw previews for the coming series at the end of the first episode, and he was definitely showcased.
And apparently, we're getting a two-master episode, which has never happened in the 54-year history of Doctor Who.
Nice.
Yep, so, that would be interesting.
Yep. All right, so next up, the Mirror reports that the Christmas episode is going to feature the First Doctor and will also tie into the Day of the Doctor.
Yes, so the Daily Mirror, yes, another tabloid, has a hot rumor that they published today that the Christmas episode will be a multi-doctor episode with the First Doctor and Capaldi's Doctor. And apparently they're going to be doing something to try to save Gallifrey. And the big rumor is that it's tying in directly into Day of the Doctor. So we get to see Day of the Doctor from the point of view...
Of the 13th Doctor.
Of the 13th and the First Doctor. So that'll be interesting. David Bradley of Game of Thrones and Harry Potter fame... will be reprising his role as the First Doctor. He played the First Doctor in An Adventure in Time and Space.
And that was an amazing movie, by the way, if you never saw it.
Yes. That's basically the history of the making of Doctor Who, the first Doctor Who. So, and it's Adventures in Space and Time. I don't know why I said Adventures of Time and Space. But anyway. So yes, he'll be reprising his role as the First Doctor. And it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But yes, they're joining forces to save Gallifrey, and somehow it's going to tie into Day of the Doctor. So it's quite possible that the last time we see Peter Capaldi is also tied into the first time we see Peter Capaldi.
That would be cool.
Which was with the attack eyebrows.
Yes. Now here's an interesting thing, though, if I remember. When we were watching the previews for the series at the end of the first episode, didn't we see him regenerating?
Yes, so how is that going to work?
Yeah.
And he has said that he has filmed his regeneration scene. So does that mean that whoever is the new Doctor Who has already taken the stage? Or does that mean that it's a super long regeneration, and there's going to be one more adventure in Christmas. Like I kind of mentioned, that that's kind of how I think it's going to go.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see.
It's kind of leaning to that, because if he's having an adventure with the First Doctor in the Christmas episode, then it's going to be interesting.
All right, folks, so that does it for this particular episode of Transmissions from Atlantis.
Yep, and coming up next week, and we do mean next week, we will be reviewing the Doctor Who episode Smile, the emoji episode.
I have a feeling this is probably going to be the worst episode of the series.
Yeah, it's written by the guy that wrote the Arbor Day episode. So yeah. My hopes aren't very high at all, but we'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting.
Could be good. Yep. You don't know.
Could be good. Could be crap. We'll see. We'll have more reviews from the Mystery Science Theater 3000, because we'll have watched a bunch more of the episodes by next week. And I don't know. We'll see what else we can scare up during the week, because I'm sure something else cool will come out. It's getting to that time of year where new stuff is going to start popping up over and over again. All right, before we say goodbye, I just want to let you know that our outro music this week is going to be Rita's favorite song from Prince.
Yes. Starfish and coffee. Maple syrup and jam.
That's right. And until next time.
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody. Please don't sue us, Prince's estate.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
It was 7:45 online to put to teacher Miss Kathleen. First was Kevin, then came Lucy, third in line was me. All of us were ordinary compared to Cynthia Rose. She always stood in back of the line, a smile beneath her nose. Her favorite number was 20, and every single day. If you ask her what she had for breakfast, this is what she'd say. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and a tangerine, a side order of ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you'd understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam.
And they're singing, all together now. And they're singing, Cynthia wore the prettiest dress with different color socks. Sometimes I wondered if the mates were in her lunchbox. Me and Lucy opened it up when Cynthia wasn't around. Lucy cried, I almost died. You know what we found.
Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and a tangerine, a side order of ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you'll understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam.
And they're singing, all together now.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.